The Gemara tells us, in onshin min hadin, that we cannot give somebody a death penalty on account of a kal v'chomer. And this raises the question, why? There are 13 midos that the Torah uses to derive halacha, 13 hermeneutic devices. The first one is a kal v'chomer, and then we go on, gzeira shava, binyan av, shneik suvim ha-makishim zezeh. There are 13 devices which the Torah uses to derive halacha, and 12 of those 13 are valid evidence to give a person the death penalty. We can derive halacha with sufficient strength to give the death penalty. And for some reason, a kal v'chomer is insufficient. It's one of the yugim midos, but we can't use a kal v'chomer to derive a death penalty. So what exactly is it that makes kal v'chomer different? There are four basic approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim to explain why kal v'chomer is different. The simple, most basic approach is the approach that we can't understand. Basically, when we talk about Yogam Amidos Shatar Nidrashis Behen, the rules by which Torah is derived from Torah Shebichsav to practical halacha, those rules are not rules that were necessarily formulated in accordance with human logic, but rather they were formulated in accordance with divine logic. They were, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were either halacha lo Moshe Misinai, that we don't even have a source for in Torah Shebichsav, or at the very most, they were Gzeres HaKosov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us these 13 midos by writing certain things in the Torah, and without those things having been written in the Torah, we, with our logic, would never have come up with those 13 midos. That being the case, and this is a position that's taken by certain lines in the Sefer HaKrisos, as well as other Rishonim, that being the case, all the rules, it's Rashi and Chulin says this, all the rules that govern the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nidreshes Behen are beyond our ability to comprehend. So it's either Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or it's Gzeres HaKosov. The rules that govern the Yud Gimel Midos entirely are all divine logic and not human logic. So therefore, basically, we have to accept it the same way that we accept other halachos that are either Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or Gzeres HaKosov, even though they don't necessarily stem from human logic. They're simply something that we have to obey because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to obey it. That's one pshat, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or Gzeres HaKosov. A second pshat that's offered, it's offered by perhaps most notably the Rashba in a tshuva, is that in reality the kal v'chomer is different than all of the other midos shatar nidreshes behen. The other midos shatar nidreshes behen are midos that a person is not allowed to use or to utilize on his own. If a person wants to make a gzeirah shava, he has to have a mesorah, a tradition from his Rebbe, that this gzeirah shava is able to be made. If he wants to make a binyan av, if he wants to make a shnik suvam amachishim zezeh, he has to have a tradition from his Rebbe in order to utilize these other midos. And that tradition from his Rebbe goes back to his Rebbe's Rebbe and to his Rebbe's Rebbe's Rebbe all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu and all the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the other 12 midos ultimately are sanctioned by divine authority. If a person is learning a Gzeirah Shava to create a Chiyuv Misa, then that Gzeirah Shava ultimately is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of that Gzeirah Shava. So therefore, this Chiyuv Misa is a Chiyuv Misa which is coming, essentially, based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu say so. But a kal v'chomer, the Gemara says in Psachim, is something that a person is allowed to make on his own. He doesn't have a tradition from his Rebbe in order to make a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, of all of the Yud Gimel Midos, is the one which is most given into human hands. It's the one which is most in accordance with the structure of our brains, and therefore we can make a kal v'chomer even without supervision. That being the case, however, it's both a strength and a weakness. It's a strength because it gives us much broader license to derive things via a kal v'chomer. But it's a weakness also, because any other midah which ultimately stems from a tradition that goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and back to Moshe Rabbeinu, those midos, those devices, are basically, they have the stamp and the imprint and the guarantee, the certification, and the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they can't be wrong, they must be right. But the kal v'chomer relies on human logic. It's not something that you have all the way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something that you made up out of your own brain. So how many of us have made a mistake? How many of us, myself included many times, thought that something was incredibly compelling, logically, and then 4 years later, we realize that perhaps it has a flaw and perhaps it's wrong. So Kal v'chomer, right, despite our having greater independence to utilize it, we also have to treat it with a greater degree of uncertainty. And any time that there's uncertainty, how can we put a person to death based on that uncertainty? A Kal v'chomer says that a particular action has a death penalty. But maybe 10 years or 20 years down the line, after we've executed this criminal and we can't unexecute him, maybe 20 years down the line, somebody's going to come up with the refutation of the Kal v'chomer. You can't refute a gzeirah shavah. You can't refute the other midos, because those are all go back in a mesorah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a Kal v'chomer can be refuted. Therefore, we can't give a chiyuv misa from a Kal v'chomer. And this is the reason that's attributed to the Tshuvas HaRashba. A third reason that's given for Ein Onshin Min Adin is even more complicated. Basically, the argument is as follows. Every Adin, when that word appears in the Gemara, in reference to one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatern Adreshes Pen, is referring to a Kal V'chomer. A Kal V'chomer is predicated upon our assigning or categorizing or classifying particular areas of halacha as stringent or lenient. And it's predicated on our classifying particular actions as being stringent or lenient on the subject of those actions. So, for example, let's say I were to jump up and down three times. Is that a lenient action or a stringent action? It's hard for us to classify. Tosfos, I believe, in some places say that sometimes, in fact, many times, the way the areas of halacha and actions are not simply monochromatic. You can't classify them uniformly as lenient, and you can't classify them uniformly as stringent. They have elements and dimensions of leniency, and elements and dimensions of leniency. And Chazal, with their discernment and their total immersion in the quest for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's values, were able to discern which actions and categories should be classified as stringent, because the stringent dimensions and characteristics of those categories were dominant, and which, on the other hand, should be classified as lenient, because the lenient characteristics were dominant. This was something which Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, were able to discern, and which we are not able to discern. However, when it came to capital punishment, even Chazal either discerned that capital punishment is not a stringency on a person, but rather contains significant elements of leniency and therefore cannot be classified as either lenient or stringent. Or maybe they said, no, it's just stam a leniency. What's the Svaras HaDvarim for this? Why is it that I'm saying now that capital punishment is not a stringency? The guy's being executed. His head is being chopped off. Isn't that a stringency for him? He would much rather stay alive. So the Marsha explains as follows. The Marsha says that the goal of capital punishment in Judaism is not to take revenge upon the criminal who committed a crime. It's not maybe even to remove the criminal from society so that he doesn't repeat his crime and cause other innocent people to become victims. It's not necessarily even to deter people from committing crimes before the crimes are committed. The goal of punishment for the Marsha in Jewish law is to provide atonement for sinners. So if a person is to be executed, that's not revenge of society against him or God's revenge against him. The execution is out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy for him. He has a way now to atone for his sins. Yisurim aren't enough to atone for his sins. Tshuva maybe is not enough. He needs to have Misas Beis Din. Misas Beis Din is his kapara. Malchus is his kapara. So that's a tremendous kula. If we don't allow Beis Din to execute him, so then we're essentially being machmir on him. We're saying, you can't be executed. Your crime is too great to bear. So you can't be executed. If we allow him to be executed, we're saying, yes, your crime is still within the bounds of crimes which can be atoned for by Mises Beis Din. Therefore, says the Marsha, we can't apply the regular rules of Kal v'chomer to capital punishment. Because ordinarily we would say as follows. We would say, area A, which is lenient, still has the stringency of deserving capital punishment. So area B, which is stringent, should certainly have the stringency of deserving capital punishment. But you can say the exact opposite also, based on the Marsha. The area A, which is lenient, so we're lenient, we give him atonement, we let him get capital punishment. But area B, which is stringent, in that area, so perhaps we should be stringent on him and don't grant him atonement with capital punishment. So for the Marsha, we say ein onshin min adin because of the inherent difficulty of classifying the act of administering capital punishment as a chumrah for the person because it deprives him of life, or as a kula for the person because it gives him atonement. We can't classify it, or at least both of those components are equal, or perhaps even the leniency component is stronger, and therefore we cannot simply say that if a lenient area receives capital punishment, certainly a stringent area should receive it. Maybe the lenient area is worthy of atonement, for the stringent area is too severe to receive atonement even through capital punishment. So far we have three possible reasons why ein onshin min hadin. Number one, it's gzeiras hakasuv or halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Number two, because Kal v'chomer relies on human logic. Human logic is flawed. Somebody may discover the flaw and disprove the argument later on. And therefore, because it's inherently uncertain, anything which is derived by human logic and not by divine logic is inherently uncertain, we can't use it as a basis for capital punishment. Number three, because the classification of capital punishment as a chumrah is not necessarily accurate, and maybe a kula because it grants atonement. And then the fourth one, which is offered by Rabbi Yosef Engel in his beautiful essay on this subject in Beis HaOtzar, Chelek Aleph Klal Nun Vav, he says basically, based on it as a mitzvah, v'yitzilu ha'eda, they're supposed to save the defendant in capital cases. And this is part of that mitzvah that essentially, there are the fact that a kal v'chomer is not explicit in psukim. There are many things about a kal v'chomer which perhaps make it less than other midos, and therefore Beis Din is going to pick out all the different weaknesses of a kal v'chomer in order to save the person whose life is at stake, in order to save the defendant. So because of v'yitzilu ha'eda, there may be a requirement to rely less on a kal v'chomer. Unclear exactly how distinct this is from the second reason and from the third reason. And obviously, needless to say, all of these four reasons, three reasons, however you count them, have tremendous ramifications for our understanding of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatur Nidrashes Bahen, and they have even broader ramifications for understanding the Yachas between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael and Chachmei Yisrael in terms of determining Psak Halacha, how much of it do we rely on ourselves, how much do we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the Yud Gimel Midos for us to darshan, are they simply for us to tread a path that's been trod before? These are all very important inyanim that emerge from this discussion of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. There are plenty more, and Mir Hashem, some other time, there will be more time for Arichos about it.